putting in those things that you think either you didn't remember right or that you skipped or forgot about that you didn't even thought of. You said there's the issue of the friends and of dates. That was
I'm sure that wasn't right, because I can remember saying so many times, no, I didn't make any friends. No, I didn't make any friends. So what kind of a dummy must I have been? And I thought, oh, sure I made friends. Thought of everybody, you know. And I just... And then no boyfriends. I said I never went out on dates. Well, what we were talking about at the time... We used to go to dances, so we didn't go with dates to dances, mm-hmm. because that was no good. You went some girls together, or two girls or something. Because if you went with a date, well, that was it. You stuck with him the whole evening.
So, but I think you did talk about that kind of dating.
I guess.
Well, and what, you said you ran away to New York at one point. When was that?
It must have been about 18, I guess. This friend that I had, Catherine, now she was one of my only friends. You know what I call a real friend. That's different from other people. I was working. I told you I worked in a dress factory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was working there, and we were going to have a great adventure. We were going to go to New York and get jobs. We were 18. So we just went one Saturday. We left one Saturday. Catherine seemed to do all the organizing and make the plans and everything. And we worked until noon on Saturday, each of us. So we just left Saturday at noon. We took off. We were going to hitchhike. In those days, there were a lot of people hiked, but it never seemed to be dangerous. So we were going to hitchhike. I guess we were going to hitchhike to New York. But we went to Providence. You know, we went like on the, you know, back east of the Boston Post Road. It goes from Boston to New York along the shore, the longest way probably. Anyway, we started that way. We went to Providence. And, I don't remember, of course, all the rides we got, but we did get some nice rides at some, except one time we got in a car with, I think there were about four men, and we thought, you know, we were so stupid. We thought, well, there's a whole lot of them, you know, it's not like, we hadn't heard of, what do they call it, gang banging, and, but anyway, we got along. We did fine. We got to Providence. We went to, she even knew all these things to do. I don't know how she knew. She never went any place before that. We went into a child's restaurant, and they had a marvelous restroom. You could wash up and a little bit, you know, change your clothes even. And so we got kind of cleaned up there. And then we went. Oh, then she had a real brainstorm. She said, instead of trying to get all the way to New York, we'll go to New London. And there's a ferry from New London to New York. So we went to New London, and we got on the ferry. I don't even remember that at all, but I know that's what we did. And then when we got there...
Did you know anyone in New York?
Oh, no. Perish the thought. We wouldn't have anything that sensible in view. We went to a boarding. I guess we must have looked. I guess we looked in the paper, a New York paper, before when we were at home. But we went to a boarding house where you got your room and your meals. I think it was $7 a week for your room and meals. It seems to me. We got a room, a place to stay in. Oh, Sunday was a loss because couldn't do anything. We just went out and walked around and gawked at everything. But Monday morning we went, also from the newspaper, we looked for a job. And she was a comptometer operator. She was skilled. And I was nothing. I was a clerk. I couldn't, I operated a switchboard, but I didn't think that was much of anything. Anyway, we looked for jobs, and we didn't get a job anyway. We went to an employment office, but we went to, then we had to see Greenwich Village. I mean, we have to, that's a must. So we went down there, and we went to this place. It was very famous. It's probably still there. It's called the Pepper Pot. And it was a place that was very, it was world famous. And we went in there, and we talked to the girls working in there, and Catherine got a job with them. So I don't think I did. I didn't get it. Anyway, this was marvelous. You know, this was really it. And I must have been that night anyway. Police came knocking at the door. We didn't quite break all ties, you know. I don't know, maybe we had this in mind, you know, let them know where we are. But we did. We sent cards to my office. Somebody worked in my office. I sent a card to, which Catherine sent a card, and to my mother. And Catherine sent a card to her uncle. She lived with her uncle. And, I don't know, I guess we sent them Saturday. They probably would have got them Monday, because it was right away. We weren't there any time. When here comes the cops after us. Catherine's uncle notified the police in Boston, and they took care of it, you know, sent the police after us or whatever. And at my office, my boss that I worked for in my office called his office in New York. I didn't even know we had an office in New York, I don't think, or I would have gone there and asked for a job. Anyway, he called the office. Or somebody over there, get those kids out of there. And they came after us, and my mother knew, it was a friend of my brother's, had a taxi, this guy, of his own, you know, independent. So he offered to drive them to New York to get me. That's what they did. My mother and my brother, maybe just my mother. And of course they missed us, because we were hauled off to the Hooskow. They took us to, I don't know what they called it. I guess it'd be like a detention home or holding home. It was just another boarding house, but there was a lot of girls in there waiting to go to court or be arrested or whatever. And, we weren't arrested, but we were brought there, and we had to stay there overnight. They didn't send anybody home with us. They sent a policeman to take us and put us on the train and tell the conductor, don't let them off. And then when we got home, they faced the music. Neither of us had a bad time, because Catherine's uncle was really a wonderful guy. He had brought her up, and he was very sensible about everything. He just said, you know, you could have gotten in a lot of trouble. Don't do it again. If you want to do something like that, let's talk it over first. And my mother was very good about it. My mother never, she didn't come all apart, you know, if anything happened. And when I went right back to work, I went right back to the office. I guess my mother told me, go back to that office. Speak to Mr. Stern and thank him for what he did, she said, because he did part of it too.
Were you under 18?
No, I think we were 18. Uh-huh. Well, we might have been, not 18.
Why?
But now, you know, kids can do anything when they're 18. They smoke, drink pot, smoke pot, whatever you do. Why didn't we tell our family? Oh, come on, you don't tell your family when you're going to run away and have a wild adventure. Go to New York and make your fortune, you know, get a job and be independent. So I went to see my boss. Oh, He was a real, well, you can tell he was a real nice guy. But he looked at me, you know, was so mad, he could kill me. He said, "Oh, what the hell did you think you were going to do there?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to get a job. We can get a job." He said, "Where are you going to get a job?" And I said, "I went to an employment office on Liberty Street." I wonder since where in the heck is Liberty Street? But anyway, I remember that street. And he said, "Liberty Street. So you know what happened there last week?" He said, "A girl went into that place, someplace on Liberty Street, an employment office." And he said, "She was never seen again till they found her body stuffed in the in the fireplace." So now, how would you like that?
Did that impress you?
Yeah, I thought, I guess we were pretty foolish. I said that to Catherine later. Boy, was she mad. She said, "What are you? Oh, no, you're not going to feel like that, you know, going over to the other side." But that's the trouble. I often see both sides of things, and it goofs me up. I'm always getting in trouble over it. But anyway,
what was that then?
We didn't think anything about that. We just thought, well, we'd go. We had enough, I don't know how much money. We had probably $7 to pay that. I know we didn't have, you know, money. But we must have thought we had enough so that when we'd go, of course we expected to go right to work. I mean, who wouldn't hire me? I'm such a nice kid, you know. And, that's all we thought. We just go to work, and well, you know, New York was so glamorous, and another world altogether. It was great. You know, you saw movies where girls worked. In those days, in the movies, they'd have a girl working in the dime store or something. Mansion in Beverly Hills. So maybe that's what we thought.
You didn't think you were going to become a dancer?
Well, no, I wasn't thinking about it at that point. I didn't know how to do that. How to get a job.
How did you know, and what did you know about Greenwich Village?
Greenwich Village is, at that time, now I suppose it's not so nice. It's probably, you know, hippies and the hippies and everything. At that time, it was all those people. But we didn't know that one. Anyway, they didn't call them that. They called them Bohemians, which was, you know, a nice name. And, Greenwich Village was the focal point of everything. And all the artists and everybody interesting lived there. And this restaurant was very famous.
Mm-hmm. How did you know about the village, though?
The village?
Greenwich Village.
You always heard about, when you hear about New York, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now from here, we know everything, not everything, you know what I mean, about San Francisco. Everybody knows in San Francisco there's Market Street and Nob Hill and the bridge and this, mm-hmm. and the other. Even if you've never been there. Well, that's how it was with Boston and New York. You knew everything about New York, you know, Fifth Avenue and the park. You might never go there in your life.
Had you known any young people who had been to New York?
No, we never knew a soul. And then we were going to go, we wanted to go someplace. So then we were thinking about Chicago. That was another place. We didn't know so much about it, but you know, there was the Loop and the Chicago and the lake and Lakeside, Lakeshore Drive. Heard of all these things. So we were thinking about that. And we met a fellow at a dance one night who said he was from Chicago. So right away we sat on either side of him and asked him everything about Chicago. He just got back from, just got into Boston that day and didn't know a soul. And, you know, gave us all his, pretty soon some guy came along and saw him and said, "Hi, Joe, how you being or something. He wasn't from Chicago any more than nothing. We were so disgusted with him. We just walked away and left.
Did you think, with all of this, these varying attempts to be independent, did you ever think of simply staying in Boston and the two of you going and getting an apartment?
No, we never thought about that at all, the two of us. I did one time. I actually went and got an apartment myself, a room. I got a room in a private house. And I think I stayed there one night. And no, that was not for me. I don't know, I was afraid, and I wanted to go home naturally. Well, I think I was younger, I think that was probably a year before or something. I don't know. My mother never had any gray hair, and I wonder why.
Now, is Catherine the same friend who convinced you to go up to Rhode Island, but then didn't go herself? When I went to work there.
Yeah, she was the one that wanted to go, but of course she didn't go because she fooled around and was late, and she got a job somewhere else. I think she went up to the mountains in New Hampshire. I forget where she went.
Now, did you maintain your friendship with your family?
No, not really, because I moved away, went to Connecticut, and she also moved away from Boston somewhere, I forget where. So we didn't see each other after that. But she was a person who was a friend. She just accepted me as I was. Never tried to change me, never told me what to do. We didn't always agree on things, but if we didn't agree, I was allowed to have my opinion. She was allowed to have hers. Her first. I think I met her at the dance, but she did live close to me, in the neighborhood, but I hadn't known her before that. Yeah, she was a friend. You could tell her anything. Yeah, that's the only other two friends I had were the same way. I could talk to them and tell them anything, and they'd never criticize me, either one of them, and they'd never tell me. If I asked them, you think I should do such and such, they wouldn't. I don't think they'd even tell me then. They'd probably say, well, if you do so and so, it'll be this way. Blah, blah. But you can, I don't know, those two people, I could just relax with them. Other people, it seems like you always have to, I don't feel that way anymore, but I used to when I was young. You have to be kind of on your guard with them. When I went to live in Connecticut, not right away, but when my children were older, my children were starting to school, they met a girl their age that lived right across the street from us, right down the street. And, I just got acquainted with her mother. This kid's father was a minister of the and I got acquainted with her mother, and we were very good friends, and it was the same way we could talk to each other. And then the third one was here later in Los Angeles. My husband was transferred from the mill there to one in Glasgow, Connecticut. It's a tiny little place, that big. There was one general store. It wasn't a town, even. It was a little village. And there was a church. And there was someplace like, I don't know, it looked like a barn or something, where they had movies once a week. Wild. And that was a horrible place. a city kid from the streets. And I got acquainted with two people there on my own. A girl, a young girl about my own age. She wasn't married. And I found out later that she was notorious. Don't have anything to do with her. Keep away from your husband. I liked her. I was friends with her. So, because there was a girl that lived there that my husband knew. And I was friendly with her too. But these other two I made on my own. So then you'd have to get her name. The notorious one. Don't think. And it was so ridiculous when I knew her. She wasn't anything like that. She might have been a little wild, or maybe she, you know, had her moments. But she wasn't somebody that you shun. The other one was a woman. Well, she was my age, I guess, because she had little kids. Well, I didn't have any kids then. She had small children, and she seemed to live by herself with these children. And I passed her house going to this store, and I, you know, talked to her. She lent me some books. I was desperate. I, you know, read everything I could, and I had Ken bring me books from the Norwich, from the library as often as possible and everything. And I was just, I was reading the labels on soup cans and everything. This woman offered to lend me paperback books. I grabbed them, so I got them. And, oh, well, I used to read them because they were the funniest things. We used to read it. I used to read. They were those trashy
romances.
Yeah. Well, not, they were worse than the ones they have now. You know, now Barbara Cartland, or whatever her name is, she writes those books by the yard, romances and everything. But yeah, I used to take them to shut-ins at the library, so that's how I know about them. But these books were much worse than that. They were those trashy, what we used to hear when we were kids were trashy dime novels. You know, you don't read those. We did if we wanted to, but we were for nothing. And these were, and every, the girls' names were, made, one was Mischievous Maid Thane. Mischievous Maid Thay. That was, that will give you a clue. And when I saw them first, I said, oh, I can't read that. And I kept reading. And they were always, they were like a, silent movies, how they used to be, East Lynn and stuff like that. And anyway, I got acquainted with her, and I can't remember her name. And then this girl, friend of Ken's, told me, oh, you didn't take any books out of her house. I said, yeah, I did. What? She said, oh, she is terrible. That's where all the men go, you know, on Saturday night or something. Oh, she was terrible. And I thought, well, the poor thing, that she was living alone with these kids. She didn't work in the mill. There was no place else there to work. So I thought, well, that's what she was living on. You know, big deal.
Did you express those opinions?
Yeah, Mary, Mary was this girl's name, the Ken's friend. I said, Mary, so what? She hadn't got any place. You know, she should be thrown out of this place. She shouldn't be allowed to live here. Got to live somewhere.
It sounds like you were really kind of different.
Yeah, I'm afraid I was. I was always getting into trouble because I was different from I wasn't different from everybody else, but I had a different upbringing. My mother, like I said, she let us read everything, see any show or anything that had the money. And I remember when I was only, I must have been about the sixth grade, because I remember the teacher, when the teacher was absent, we'd have a substitute. And the substitute always gave us plenty of time, free time, because they didn't have the work, you know, coordinated or something. And One day she told us we could bring a book from home. So I brought a book from home, and I was reading it the next day. She came around to see what everybody was reading, you know. I was reading DeMaurier. I think it was Gerald DeMaurier.
Daphne DeMaurier?
No, I think it was her father or somebody. Trilby. Well, that story about Svengali and Trilby. That's what I was reading, Trilby. And that was a no-no book at the time for grown-ups because it was considered very, I don't know what, risque or something. There's nothing like that in it, I could tell you, because I read it afterwards to find out. And it's just that they're all artists living on the left bank in Paris. And I don't know if they ever, they didn't go into specifics the way they do now, mm-hmm. you know. They'd tell you every move they made.
It seems like your parents were really very open.
Yes, they were. They were. They were. My mother was educated in a convent, strangely enough. It didn't come off of it. And she was very well educated and well read. And I told you, my father too. He didn't have much schooling, mm-hmm. but he read everything. He was always around the house, quoting Shakespeare at us.
You mentioned just in passing last time that your father was always a union man.
Oh, yes, yeah.
What sort of politics did your family have?
Well, he was a Democrat. And he died when I was pretty young. I was about 12, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't ever interested in anything, only that I always heard them at the table. My father used to read the paper to my mother when he came home from work while he was waiting for dinner, and then at the table they'd talk about these things. So we heard all about, whatever was happening in politics, so we didn't pay too much attention, I guess. I know I didn't. And we'd even hear about the axe murder, the current axe murder or whatever. They talk about everything.
Family always bought union label, that was very...
Oh, yeah, my father would always say it had to have a union label on it. He belonged to the... He was a roofer. So I guess it was a roofer. Now you don't even know their name. Some people belong to the Teamsters Union, and they're far from being Teamsters, so, it's kind of different.
I can't think of what union that would have been. Some sort of construction workers union, probably.
Yeah. I think it was just roofers. I think then they specialized,
Mm-hmm.
Like now, construction workers.